following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning again, folks. You can tell when it's spring break, when it is spring break and people are returning from really all corners of the globe and excited to be back together. So it's good. I want to take just a little bit of time before we invite folks up to just recap so that we have up on our screen by the end of my little recap all 10 of our healthy missional markers so that if you want to refer to one, it is right there for you, and maybe this will spark a little bit of excitement and like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, the beginning of January when we talked about that, which is now, you know, 3 months ago almost, and what God was speaking to me back then. So let's take a look real quick at our 10 healthy missional markers. So the first one we started off with was the centrality of the Word of God, the importance of making the Bible, this right here, central to everything that we do as a church and everything that we do as someone who is pursuing Christ, someone who is pursuing what God has for us. The Bible is where we start, and the Bible is at the center of all that we do. And what a joy it is to be able to engage in that book in the ways that we can. I told stories kind of throughout about, maybe you'll remember this fall, there was a vacation Bible school that a friend of mine put on, and they gave out free Bibles to the kids who were there at the thing. And they had to like hunt all around their church looking for spare Bibles because so many of these kids wanted the Bible after that week. And then maybe you remember the video of the guy that I showed, and of course I can't remember what country he was from. Does someone else remember? Maybe? No? All right, it was an African country, and I know that's a giant continent, so that is not nearly good enough. But he talked about how they had a Bible for their huge congregation. For like 200 people, they had one Bible, and they passed it around from family to family. And people would try to jump the queue by pretending to be sick, because the person who was sick got the Bible next. And so, that's an issue. It's not a great way, you know, to deceive people to get the Bible, but you can see the desperation there in wanting to read the Word of God. And that's what we get to engage in every single day. All right, second, life-transforming walk with Jesus. Following Jesus with our whole lives, with everything we are, in everything that we do. Following Jesus and being transformed from when we're a baby in Christ, from the first time we meet Christ, all the way until we meet him in heaven, that it is ongoing transformation, that we never stop learning and growing in Christ. Intentional evangelism. Not accidental evangelism, not just sort of happening into these opportunities to share Christ, but being willing to go and share this Jesus that you know, this Jesus that you love, this Jesus that you know loves you with other people in an intentional way. Not just waiting for those opportunities to come to you, but seeking out those opportunities, those people who in your life are ready to hear from Christ. A culture of godly leadership. We talked about this at the Sunday of our AGM, and how we should expect our leaders to be growing in all of these ways, and how similarly leaders in our church and leaders in our lives should be expecting followers to follow in a godly way. That you don't get godly leadership without godly followership, and the balance of those two, learning how we can be growing as leaders in the lives and the gifts that God has given us. Global perspective and engagement. You'll probably remember Bill, who was here, who preached on global perspective and engagement. He works for Wycliffe, the Bible translators, and he's at Trinity Western. Talked about the importance of understanding the all around the world and the fact that we are part of a community that is bigger than this community. We're bigger than just the peninsula. We're bigger than BC and Canada, but we are a part of the whole world. this whole world that God created and the importance in engaging and understanding all of that. Compelling Christian community. A Christian community that people are drawn to because they see the outpouring of the way that we care for each other, the way that we love each other, the ways that the Holy Spirit is working in and through individuals in our church. Something that people can't help but want to be a part of. Heartfelt worship. Heartfelt worship means more than just singing praises to God for all the wonderful things that God is, but engaging God from the deepest parts of our heart. That means engaging in lament when we're just torn up about things. It means engaging God when we're angry at God about things. It means engaging God when we're sad at God about things. And knowing that God is big enough to handle all that. But God wants all of who we are, not just the good little Facebook or Twitter posts that are positive. He doesn't want us in a way where we're deceiving ourselves in the way we engage with him, all of our heart in worship. Sacrificial and generous living and giving. Living in a way and giving in a way that is both sacrificial and generous. I mean, all those words are right there. But ways in which we're actually giving up something that we value and giving something to God that God will value. Kind of need both parts of that for it to be sacrificial and generous. If it's something that you have no value in, then why are you giving it to God? If it's something that God isn't going to use, or something that, you know, the someone that you're giving it to isn't going to use, that's not very generous. It's not very sacrificial. So being able to engage in both things that you value to give to God and things that God will value and that God will use and work with. Transforming communities through compassion, mercy, and justice. So just a couple weeks ago, you remember, perhaps the Tim Keener was here, the church planter from Montreal, and he talked about the name of Micah, where we got our text from here, our Micah 6:8 text, which is so familiar, means who is like God. That's what the name Micah means, who is like God. And this teaches us a bit of how we can be like God, through ministries of compassion, mercy, and justice. And finally, fruitful organizational structures. The one that seems like it should be the most boring and most mundane, but I think is probably one of my favorites. Where we have to put both our lives in order in a way that can be fruitful. The way that fields and orchards are ordered, the way that a dog sled team is ordered, the way that a band or an orchestra is ordered, so that you have instruments playing their instruments and their part, not the tenor saxophone playing the clarinet part, thinking that that'll sound all right, because it doesn't. It might be fun for the tenor sax player, but it's not good for the whole orchestra. So there we are. 10, we'll leave it back on that one, are 10 healthy missional markers. Markers that help us understand how to be pursuing God and how to be pursuing what God is calling us to do, both as individuals in our own lives, but also as a church family. I have seen kind of these last 10 weeks as sort of a plowing of sorts, sort of plowing the field and readying the field as we prepare and engage in a new season together as a church. And this text from Isaiah really came to mind with the image of plowing and of fields, and then what has to come next. So this is from Isaiah 28, starting in verse 23. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. At some point, you have to stop plowing the field and you have to plant seed. And at some point, you have to harvest that field and you have to turn that into something great. You have to make the bread with that grain. And I see this as a really healthy rhythm for the church. There's times for plowing, there's times for planting, there's times for harvesting, and there's times to make that harvest into something new. So I'm excited for what the coming weeks and coming months will bring as we get into now this Holy Week season. So next week is Palm Sunday, and then after that is Easter Sunday, and a wonderful time of celebration of our risen Savior Jesus Christ. So there we are. A little bit of a recap, a little bit of an encouragement as we go on. But let's hear from some folks about what God has been saying to you, around you, through you, in these last several weeks.
They're all good. That a compelling Christian community, though, for me, is like I feel such love in with respect to being here at church. Like it's kind of the highlight of my week, though my life away from church is. Good, you know, life is good, but what compels me is the love that is here, like the family portion of it, and the peace that I think that I've really grown to appreciate and value is the prayer life of our brothers and my brothers and sisters here, and so not only Sunday morning or Tuesday, but Friday night in our men's Bible study. And so for me, it's that compelling Christian community. I've really felt blessed by that and have been nurtured and grown through that.
Yeah. Maybe we can encourage everybody to come up and say, I guess just when Eric was talking right now, heartfelt worship, that means a lot to me. I realize that we've been going through some struggles as a family, and about a year ago, I just found it so incredibly stressful, and I'm a worrywart, and I don't stop to think to take things to God, and we started to learn, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and I would go out for a walk, and I would start to think, oh, what if, and I think, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's a heartfelt worship where worship can take you from those times of stress and those times of worry to just praising God that no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, God is in control and we can trust in Him. And I guess I was thinking too of the compassion, mercy, and justice. As I said, we've been going through a bad time again, and someone in our community decided to just bring us a dinner. And I didn't really need it, but it was such a touch from God that people care about us and love us to just help us through this time. And so I think there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
I wasn't going to be coming up because I have to come up later. But one of the messages that we had that really struck me was intentional evangelism. I think we all who feel we need to speak for the Lord, I think we all kind of like the accidental ones. And I think they're wonderful to go and suddenly you realize God has prepared this. You're right there. You have to say something. But for those who don't know the Lord, this intentional evangelism is so important. And I find that I need to pray. Is there someone that God wants me to speak to? I need to pray and be sure I go at the right time. And when they're prepared, it's a real, real challenge, and it takes time with the Lord and waiting on Him. And so that's one of the things that hit me. I must do this intentional evangelism more than just trusting that some door will open or someone will give me an evidence that God wants them to speak. God wants me to speak to them. One other one that really struck me was Eric's illustration, shall we say, of fruitful organizational structures, the orchestra and every part fitting in, and it just really speaks to a church that is moving along in unity and in love for the Savior. And I trust that we will truly be in tune with God. And if we're in tune with God, we're going to be in tune with each other.
I too, I've really enjoyed all of these markers. But when we began and you looked at the 10, you went to that last one, the fruitful organizational, and you thought, oh, what's that going to be about? And maybe that's going to be a bit dry, but that was my favorite. And although I appreciated the orchestra part of it, I appreciated the dog sled and the parts and how it worked together. And it struck me when Erica talked last week about how wherever you are in that, you might be someone that's to encourage someone else to come alongside to be part of what's happening. And I just wanted to share my experience here at Emmanuel and where God took me. Like, I've been here for almost 25 years, probably been helping with worship for most of that. But at some point, someone said to me, you should lead. And I went, absolutely not. What are you thinking? And that was Becca Peterson. People were away in the summer, and she said, just me and you. I was terrified. But as you can see, God just took me through that. We need to start somewhere, even if it's a small part of ministry, and doing something and then building on that. And as we grow in our leadership, someone else will come along, and we're hoping we'll follow in our steps. My very first part of ministry here at Emmanuel was Vacation Bible School. And I brought my daughter Brittany. Scott wasn't here yet. I came back the next summer. I helped with snacks, and I cut up oranges. That was my first ministry. And before I knew it, I was part of this church. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And in a couple of years, I was directing VBS. So that's how it works, and I've been blessed to be part of those things.
So there we have it. There's our 10 healthy missional markers, and there's your 10 healthy missional book markers that are near you, either on your seat or the seat next to you. And so take one of those. These aren't meant to be things that, you know, will now disappear. These aren't meant to be things that were, you know, just sort of a token, we'll talk about it for a season, and then they're not part of our life as a church. They are meant to be reminders of how we are to be living together, how we are to be worshiping together, how we are to be following Jesus together, how we are to be engaging in the Word of God together constantly on an ongoing way. And these are ways, for me at least, these have been things where I've been able to check myself. I've looked at these and, you know, really kind of week by week as I've been reading a new one, thinking, oh, is this, you kind of look at a whole list of them and you think, oh, yeah, okay, like those all sound like some really, really great things, really, you know, good advice, maybe some helpful things to think about. But the more that I dug into the scripture for each one of these, the more that I engaged prayerfully in each of these, the more I found that they were really important ways for me to gauge my own interaction with God on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis. And where am I doing these things? Am I doing these things? Am I, you know, is there one that I'm just ignoring because it just feels too uncomfortable? Because I'm not a worship person. I just don't want to do that. Or is it, you know, or am I really excited about just studying the Bible all the time and forgetting to live out what the Bible tells us to live out? I think it's a great way for you to check yourself, you know, on an ongoing basis. Look at these bookmarks. Stick it in your Bible. How am I doing? How have I engaged in ministries of compassion, mercy, and justice in the last week, month, year? Have I? If I haven't, okay, well, let's figure out a way to change that. Let's figure out a way to live out these things that God is calling us to live out. I want to read just one more time this scripture from Isaiah, because I really love this image and the reminder of the different seasons of the field. So again, from Isaiah 28, starting in verse 23. "Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod, and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you care about each of us as individuals, the way that we live our lives, the way that you have instructed us to live our lives, that you have put forth for us in your word guidelines and markers and rules to live by, ways that we can live our life that is glorifying to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that these markers are also healthy and fruitful for us as a church. God, we ask your guidance as we seek to follow your will for us as a congregation, as we seek to do and live out each of these markers. God, I pray that we would be a church family that is full of knowledge and embracing your word. A church family that is always transforming in their life with Jesus, that seeks out opportunities for evangelism, that lives out leadership in a way that is pleasing to you, that has an understanding and a perspective on where we are as a part of our globe, that is a community that is compelling to those who see it, that sees your Holy Spirit at work within us, that we are worshiping you with our whole heart, God, that we are living and giving in sacrificial and generous ways, that we are working to live out compassion, mercy, and justice, and God, that we have structures that are fruitful, that we find our roles and that we support others in their roles, so that together, God, we can be something infinitely more beautiful than we can be on our own, that we can be your church, God. God, we pray as we worship this morning that you would be with us, that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, and that we would meet your Son Jesus this morning. We pray this all in his holy name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.